All right, well, let's go to the Lord and ask His blessing on our study here, our time together. Our gracious God, we bow to You, the sovereign Lord of the universe, You who have existed from all eternity, who has no maker, who reigns and rules above sovereignly, and who has mercifully revealed Yourself to us in Your inspired Word. We look to You now to bless this time together, to give us understanding, to cause our hearts to rejoice together because of You, to walk away loving You more and loving each other more. Bless this study. Help me have clarity to teach the truth in love for Your glory. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Okay. Well, with the fellowship conference just around the corner, 2 Sundays from now, right? Next Sunday, God willing, it'll be Jeff Thomas that'll be standing here for the Bible study and preaching, which ought to be a real delight. Pray for our brother from Wales. So I thought it would be good to have a study or at least a meditation on the theme of Christian fellowship. It just kind of struck me a few weeks ago, the importance of it. And I wanted to keep in mind, it's just a meditation. This is something that can go on for years, really, drawing out the implications and the importance of Christian fellowship. But today, I'm going to just approach it in a very simple three-step approach. First, I'd like to talk about what it is biblically, what Christian fellowship is from the Scriptures. And then I want us to think about why it's important. Why is it important? And then lastly, I want us to think about how we can make the most of Christian fellowship. So that's the simple three steps right there. The what, the why, and the how. What is it? Why is it important? And how can we make the most of it? All right. So what is Christian fellowship? Well, to start off, I want us to turn to 1 John. 1 John. In chapter 1, very beginning of this epistle here, 1 John chapter 1, we'll start reading in verse 3 and then read through verse 10. The Apostle John says, "That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. This message is the message we have heard from Him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us." Well, the reason I'm starting here is because the Apostle John, at the opening of this epistle, he uses the very word fellowship 4 times. In these few verses, 4 times he mentions it. So it's important, isn't it? It's important to the Christian life. And John starts off by saying that with the desire that he has for his readers to have fellowship with them, or with us, or with the apostolic church, the community of believers who are sitting under and gathering because of the true gospel. But first, this fellowship takes place with who? With God. With, namely, the Father and with His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where it begins. So when we define fellowship, I know and realize that we use this word in all kinds of ways, on many different occasions, in different contexts, don't we? My first memory of the word itself was when I was growing up in my little small town in the Panhandle of Texas, and we, Little First Baptist Church. We had the main building, which was the worship center sanctuary where we had the preaching and the service. But then we had an adjacent building just close to it called, anybody you know? The Fellowship Hall. The Fellowship Hall. This is what they called it. I guess they thought, well, here's where we preach and sing and hear the sermon, and here's where we fellowship, because we have our special meals and things like that, activities of various kinds. And that language works. That's fine, right? And, you know, we here every last Friday of the month have Friday night fellowship. We have a brief devotional. We sing with the younger people, single people. We hang out, play games, have food, and we do have fellowship. And even in general terms, society, you know, you even have colleges, certain ones. If you get accepted to, you get a fellowship. You're a fellow at this place. You have a fellowship. I think there may be a medical field even. I'm not certain on that. But the language is used all the time, right? And even among, let's say, the Roman society in this day, when John's letter was written, they would use the word, and it referred really to a legally binding association of equal partners based on their mutual assent to a common purpose. Even had some legal aspects to it. But when we think about and define what fellowship is, we need to start with what the biblical authors taught, because that's what's most important. And the best definition and the simplest way I can state it is this: Christian fellowship means communal participation in the life and sonship of Jesus Christ. A communal participation in the life and sonship of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that thought ought to blow our minds if we really understand what that means. Participation. We are participants. We have a privilege beyond our imagination. It is infinitely beyond what you can imagine. It's really like what the Lord Jesus said when he mentioned that treasure hidden in the field the guy found. What did he do when he found that treasure? He went and sold everything to buy that field. I mean, that's how it is. You're ready to sell everything. You've found the greatest thing on earth: Christ, being united with him, and then having union and fellowship with his people. It is the greatest thing in the earth, bar none. And the Apostle John makes that clear in many ways. I mean, we have sonship. We have real citizenship. We are really members of the family of God, and we have this fellowship together because of that. In John's Gospel, when in chapter 14, when Jesus answered one of the disciples, he said this. He said, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and," this is amazing, "my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." Guys, this is what we're talking about. First and foremost, this fellowship, this communal participation with the holy, sovereign God of the universe. And all Christians are shareholders, all of us. We're shareholders. We have a common share in this. We are joint heirs with Christ. Anthony Thistleton, who one time I was studying 1 Corinthians for a work Bible study, I asked, so who's the go-to guy for 1 Corinthians? And he said, Anthony Thistleton. He wrote the most exhaustive. He did. He wrote a commentary that thick. Brainy guy. Anyway, he said this about fellowship. Listen to this. He said, "Fellowship is not simply the experience of being together as Christians, which is shared, but the status of being in Christ and of being shareholders in a sonship derived from the sonship of Christ and participation in the life of Christ." So that it's not simply the experience of being together as Christians. That's part of it. But the main thing is being the shareholders in Christ's sonship, participation in the life of Christ. So in one sense, our fellowship is not something based on mutual assent to a common purpose, but rather it's something created as the people of God walk together in the light. See that? You walk with God. If I walk with God, we walk with God, then something is created between us. That something is Christian fellowship. And it's huge. You know, for example, you can meet someone from a different town or a different state, different country that's a real Christian. And when you get to talking to them or knowing them, you realize, wow, there is something there between us. There is a connection unlike any other just normal connection in the world, right? You know what I'm talking about. It's because of that. It's because of that union he has with the Lord and you. And there's that fellowship between us. God creates it between us. I remember about 17 years ago when Soreen Pradon from Romania came here to our church sharing about the work with Heart Cry and with Burning Paul Washer. It was like that. It's like that with a lot of you, but that one stood out in a way that I'll never forget. I thought, man, I love this guy. He's such a delightful. It's like I've known him for 20 years and I'd only known him for a day. But this is what we're talking about, saints. Well, the word itself, fellowship, is koinonia. You probably have heard that, koinonia. And it means, in its basic definition, participation or communion. So for Christians, there's this real relationship and this participation in the life of Christ. And through him, this union with the Father. And because that's what Christ has done, hasn't he? He has reconciled us to the Father. He's reconciled us to God so that now we do have this fellowship together. And this is something true of all Christians. And if you're familiar with First John, you'll notice that he's being very pastoral, wanting them to have this fellowship and to remain in a true fellowship with one another, in a true church, rather than departing and even fellowshipping with the world or with false converts. And there are those in 1 John that had, what you could say, they departed from them. They had seceded. They had left their fellowship. And he calls them out in certain ways when he's bringing in gospel truth. For example, saying things like, you know, those who do not say that Jesus has come in the flesh, or not saying that he's Lord, or denying he came by the water and the blood. In other words, he came not just to baptize and give repentance, but they deny he came to shed his blood, and that blood has power to forgive sins. In ways they belittle the humanity of Christ, or they downplay or neglect the deity of Christ. They neglect the reality, or reject it, of his death on the cross. And that's what we're talking about, that he will mention. And what did they do? They went out from us because they were never really of us. You remember him saying that? See, they broke fellowship. Those who abandoned the apostolic teaching and fellowship, they did more than just walk out. They severed themselves from fellowship with the triune God as well. And that's a big deal, isn't it? You don't just live the Christian life on your own out there. You have to be among the people of God. Okay, so that's what it is. Well, why is it important? Why is it important? Now, hopefully a lot of the thoughts are already coming to your mind. I have a few things. There could be 1,000 reasons, but for sake of time, I only can get so much in here. So where I want to start is why it's important is for our unity. For our unity. For example, we also have fellowship with the Holy Spirit, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul mentions this in 2 Corinthians. And this struck me because the very last thing the Apostle Paul said to the Corinthians, which was at the very end of 2 Corinthians, in the very last verse, okay, note that this is the last statement he makes to the Corinthians, at least in writing. He says this, 2 Corinthians 13:14, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all." The fellowship of the Holy Spirit. And this is why I'm talking about unity, because this would be a participation in the sharing out of the Holy Spirit among us. If you're a believer, you have the Holy Spirit. You share in the Holy Spirit. You do. I do. We all do. Okay, that's how he summed up his message. There needs to be this unity and this participation in the life and the power and the unity of the Holy Spirit. Now, I say that because think about what the first thing he said to the Corinthians. One of the first things he said to the Corinthians back in 1 Corinthians 1, chapter 1, starting in verse 9, was this. He said, "God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same judgment. For it's been reported to me by Chloe's people that there is quarreling among you, my brothers." And he goes on to say that this ought not to be. There should not be those who are saying, "I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Peter, I'm of Christ." Is Christ divided? No. That ought not be. So the word there, division, that there be no divisions among you, that word division is the opposite of the word fellowship. And that was happening. So he's starting off addressing this problem. You've got to have this fellowship, this unity. You can't have these divisions. And he closes out with the prayer of, "May the Holy Spirit give you this unity," basically, "and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all." All right. Now, that doesn't mean we agree on every little secondary, tertiary thing, right? You don't have to agree on every little thing. You have to agree on the main thing of the gospel truths. You want to wear head coverings? Fine. What's your view of the millennium? Okay. Well, we're not going to break fellowship over that kind of stuff. We're going to maintain this unity of the Spirit among us. Does that make sense? So that's one reason why it's important. Another reason is for godly living. For godly living, we have to have fellowship. Our lives that please the Lord, that we have to have each other for this. In verse 7, back in 1 John 1, verse 7 says, "If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another." See that? Walking in the light. It is vital to have real fellowship. Well, what does walking in the light mean? Now, when I posed that question to myself, because I thought it's helpful in a study, I realized this could be another Bible study. So I'm only going to hit it at a high level. What does walking in the light mean? Well, it basically means a few things. It means, for one thing, walking in the truth. Walking in the truth. The truth as it is in Jesus. The real truth of the gospel and wisdom, his wisdom, means that. You're a believer in the truth. You're submitting to the truth. You're in the light. Because you're in the truth. You're not in darkness and deceived. You see that? It also means walking in love. Walking in love is walking in the light. He says in chapter 4, verses 7 through 8, in this same epistle, he said, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God." Why? Because God is love. So truth and love go together. That's part of walking in the light. You're walking in truth and you're walking in love. You don't sacrifice truth in the name of love. And you don't sacrifice love in the name of truth. That's not walking in light if you're one or the other. They're together. If you're walking in the light, you're walking in truth and love. Walking in the light also includes acknowledging sin for what it is and repenting when you see it in yourself. That's walking in the light. Doesn't mean you're sinless. It means you're going to start seeing your sin. And this happens in a Christian church that has real fellowship. You know, we come from different backgrounds, different ethnicities, different parenting, different education. We're different, aren't we? In many ways. And we start interacting week after week, and in the middle of the week and different occasions, we start rubbing off on each other in good ways, and we start rubbing each other kind of and exposing sin. Sin starts to come to light, doesn't it? Because we're walking in the light. So God's going to bring sin to the light, but it gives us the opportunity to mature, to grow in sanctification. This is a good thing, isn't it? It's a very good thing. And this takes place in real Christian fellowship. And this spiritual cleansing takes place. See how he mentions that at the end of verse 7? He says, "And the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." This cleansing takes place when we continue in this Christian fellowship. Walking in the light is also living in obedience to God, to His law, and to Christ's commands. You're in the light now. You're not in darkness. You're going to walk in obedience. And again, when you sin, you own it and repent of it, learn from it, and forgive others of their sins. And there's another aspect of light, right? It gives us the ability to see, doesn't it? We're not in darkness. If you're in darkness, you do not see the danger you're in. You don't see the step right in front of you that could be your destruction or that could really hurt you. You don't see that you're on a path to hell. But when you're walking in the light, you can see. You can see the dangers. And so this is part of walking in the light. Well, another reason for Christian fellowship is why it's important is for our endurance and our perseverance, our endurance. Brother Stephen taught a couple of weeks ago on this. Christian fellowship is vital for our endurance. And if you will, turn to Hebrews 3, or just listen. Hebrews 3, these three verses, verses 12 through 14. He says, "Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have come to share in Christ." There's the fellowship piece. "We have come to share in Christ if, indeed, we hold our original confidence firm to the end." So we see in this passage one of the reasons we have ongoing fellowship is for this aspect of exhorting one another. Exhorting one another. We have to exhort each other. And that's what I'm doing now. That's what the preaching is. But it's not just for the elders, is it? Or those who teach Bible studies. It's for all of us. We have to exhort one another, lest our hearts grow cold and hard. That's a very important reason why we need Christian fellowship. You sisters who are friends, you exhort each other. Mothers have things you can relate to with children and challenges, and you exhort each other. You see, men, husbands, fathers, we all have ways. Everyone has a way to exhort each other. This works in us persevering mercies, endurance. See, we have come to share in Christ, to have this communal participation, fellowship. If we hold our original confidence firm to the end, we keep holding to Christ and the gospel, to the truth, to the end. It's God's purpose to use each of us in each other's lives. It is. That's why you're here. And you are useful for this church, for this very thing. And it's going to happen through our fellowship. Well, you know, just having this fellowship means we serve and help each other, right? It's obvious, but it needs to be said. We serve and help each other. Think of the early church in Acts 2. I love this. The church is new. Pentecost had just happened. The Holy Spirit came. All these people are being saved. And it says in Acts 2:42 and following, it says, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Isn't that beautiful? See, we also need to be devoted to the apostles' teaching and devoted to the fellowship. It's a vital part of the Christian life. And we bear one another's burdens that way. How else are we going to bear each other's burdens if we're not in fellowship with each other? You're off by yourself. No one knows. We haven't shared. We haven't been able to exhort or encourage. No one knows the burden. How can we do that and fulfill the law of Christ if not among the fellowship, right? The Macedonian Christians, they gave abundantly because they heard the Christians in Jerusalem were needing help. So they gave. They loved them. And that's because they had this common fellowship and joy. They wanted to help them. That's what Christians do. And our calling is to build one another up, isn't it? That's another reason why fellowship's important, for building one another up. We're not here to puff ourselves up. That's not good. The Apostle Paul warned against that. We don't puff ourselves up. We build one another up. We edify each other. We strengthen each other. We're here for each other. This is what fellowship is a lot about right here. If you're a Christian, you are united to Christ in this mutual bond with all other Christians. You are. And that's a reality. You are in a profound and eternal relationship of love with all believers. And the Lord Jesus Christ takes this very seriously. Right? And he takes it very personally. I keep thinking of several passages, but one, remember in Acts 9 when Paul was converted? Remember, he's going to persecute, arrest Christians, stop this whole thing. The Lord Jesus shows up, flash of light, brighter than the noonday sun, knocks him off his horse. And what did he say? Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting the church, the believers? No. Why are you persecuting me? See how personally he takes it? You persecute the least of my brethren. You're doing it to me. That's what he said in another place. He said, what you do unto the least of my brothers, you do to me. Each and every Christian has infinite worth and value because they're united to Christ and he's theirs and they're his. So let that be an encouragement to you, though, an understanding. Why is fellowship so important? Well, there's a good reason. To build each other up, to care for Christ's people. There are no Lone Ranger Christians. That is a oxymoron. That is not to be. That can't be. No, there's encouragement, there's strengthening, there's sharpening that comes from a community of believers who have true fellowship. Hudson Taylor, many of you have read his biography. He, in the 1800s, his heart was just for China, so he wanted to go to the missions in China, and his initial journey there was quite profound, quite miraculous in ways. That boat ride down through, just getting out of the bay of that English Channel and all that was pretty miraculous. But then down through below the African coast up, but he went by himself. And when he got there, as I remember, it's been a long time since I've read it, but he found himself really alone. It's like there was bad communication among the missionary agency he was going with. There was really no one there that he was expecting to be there. And the money and resources were very limited. He had real just problems, but he was alone. There was a war going on, a bad one, and he's alone. But the turning point came when someone finally did come and join him, and then they had the fellowship, and then people were being saved. See, this is where the strengthening came and the help came. You just don't want to be alone as a Christian. You can't be. Well, it's a protection too. Fellowship's a protection against the enemy. I threw this one in this morning just as I'm reviewing my notes. Like, it's a real protection. If you're off on the fringe or out by yourself and you're alone, you're not among the fellowship, you're vulnerable to real deadly dangers. So Christian fellowship's a real protection to you. Well, let me get to the third point here is how. How can we make the most of true Christian fellowship? I feel like this is important. Hopefully you do too. It's important because we need to make the most of real Christian fellowship. We need to understand what it is. Well, first is take full advantage of the opportunities to have fellowship first with the Lord and then with His people. Take full advantage of every opportunity. And you need to prioritize your life. That's a reality. And it's first with God. Find those times that work best for you to be with the Lord, to be in His Word, to be in prayer, to be communing with Him, relating to Him, loving Him, pouring out your heart to Him, hearing Him speak through His Word. Be in that communion with Him. See, we have the privilege and access to the throne of grace, don't we? I mean, how foolish not to take advantage of that privilege. So do that. And even through the day, it doesn't have to be that hour whenever you have your time, but through the day, relate. Lord, help me with this meeting. Lord, go help me know how to talk to my kid here. Or help me here. Help me there. Help me help this friend. There's little statements he hears, little requests that may be brief, but they're not really little. But see, there's that communion. Commune with God. Well, this honors the Lord, and it will prepare you to be a real blessing to the saints when you're among them. So, how we also take full advantage and make the most of Christian fellowship is prioritize the means of grace and being with the saints. You've got to take advantage of it. Be at church on the Lord's day. Unless you're just really sick or out of town, be there. Let nothing stop you from being there. Make every excuse to be there. You know, some people look for an excuse, one little excuse, not to be there. You ought to think of it the other way around, right? I'm going to take every excuse out there that I need to be there and be there. Be at the prayer meetings, middle of the week. Go to special meetings, different events, different occasions, when you can. You know, the shower, I'm sure, was a time of fellowship last night of Darius and Rachel's wedding shower. I'm sure the sisters loved that. There are things like that, things to do, things to be among the saints. You just got to take advantage of it. And you will both be a blessing, and you will also receive a blessing more than pursuing anything else in the world. That's reality. This, folks, is what life's about. If I could put it that bluntly, Christian fellowship, fellowship with God and with each other, is what life is about. And it's the greatest thing in the world. If you pursue sin, you say, I'm not going to walk with God, and I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to walk in His ways. You're going to end up in hell. It's destruction. Or if you just pursue the world and the things of the world, like John mentions in chapter 2, you're going to end up empty. It's all vanity. Remember? I mean, didn't we just finish studying that in Ecclesiastes? Everything else is vanity. But Christian fellowship is not. It's the greatest thing in life. Fellowship with Christ and with one another, it will build and strengthen, encourage, and satisfy. Nothing else can. It can't. If you think, well, I need to get this, I need to focus on some things like that are really weighing me down with work instead of going to prayer meeting, or I'm really tired. I mean, okay, well, you're prioritizing right there, and you're missing the value that will be had with you being there and them being a blessing to you. And not only that, but praying to God together, for example, or being in worship. I'm not trying to meddle or condemn anyone. I'm just trying to inspire you and to realize how valuable and important Christian fellowship is. And it's the only way that God's people will have fullness of joy. There is no other way. Isn't that what he says in verse 4? Unless I'm misreading 1 John 1:4, we're writing these things so that our joy may be complete. There's no other way to complete it other than this communion with God and each other. So that our joy, your joy and my joy, our joy is going to be completed in this life of fellowship. So be a fully functioning member of the body. And another way, it's obvious, and I've kind of alluded to it already, but another way of making the most of Christian fellowship is to avoid sin. Or avoid walking in darkness. Just avoid that. Fellowship, meaning this participation in the life of Christ, walking in His light, loving His people, then the opposite implies that people can participate in sin and evil. Don't give in to the sin and the allurements and temptations of the flesh or the world or the devil. Don't give in and don't end up breaking fellowship with God and with His people. See, this is a great danger, and this is what the apostles warned against. Not just John, but the others. They warned against this thing, didn't they? You know, the apostle Paul, for example, said, "What fellowship has light with darkness? Or what fellowship has Christ with Belial," right? The devil. What fellowship have Christians really with the world? Or unbeliever? There is no fellowship. You may have a mutual business partnership or acquaintance or something like that, but you do not have fellowship with the world in that sense, with those who are walking in darkness. So the Apostle Paul also said, and this is regarding the Lord's Supper, which we see the tables here, ready for later. He said this in 1 Corinthians 10:16 to 22. He said, "The cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ?" Participation in is the word koinonia, fellowship with. This cup, is it not a fellowship with, a participation in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? Because there's one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. Consider the people of Israel. Are not those who eat the sacrifices participants in the altar? What do I imply then? The apostles made implications. What do I imply? That food offered to idols is anything, or that an idol is anything? No. I imply that what pagan sacrifice they offer to demons and not to God. That is a profound reality. I do not want you to be participants with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the table of the Lord and the table of demons. Shall we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are you stronger than He? Quite a truth. So this is a lot of even what church discipline is about. Because a person is not walking in the light, but in darkness, unrepentant sin. And the church disciplines with the intention of restoring the wandering person back into the fellowship, you see? That's the goal. That's the intention, is to restore, to bring them back into the fellowship. And if they don't come back, then it could be like what John was saying earlier, that well, they've departed because they were never really of us. Well, that's all I had. The what, the why, and the how. What it is, why it's important, and how we can make the most of it. Christian fellowship, saints, is a gracious gift of God to His people. It really is. And Christian friendships are the best, aren't they? Those that God creates. I mean, I feel like I could just like sit at any of your feet and just kiss them. I just love y'all. And I want your good. And I hope we love each other that way. You know? And it's something God does. It's not something we can conjure up. Well, I'm gonna do this. No, it's that thing that's created when you're walking in the light and they're walking in the light. And we have this thing now, this Christian fellowship among us. And we're growing together. And our fellowship does include enjoying food together, you know, in each other's homes and each other's company and activities together too. That's secondary, but I want us to get the big deal right. And then these other things will be even all the sweeter, won't they? You know, there's a little nursery rhyme. The more we get together, together, together. The more we get together, what? Say it, somebody. The happier we'll be. Why? Because your friends are my friends, and my friends are your friends. And that's a little nursery rhyme, but think of the profound reality, the much more with Christians, how that is and how that works. So I hope this helps you, and I hope that you enjoy the fellowship conference in 2 weeks. But I mostly want you to enjoy what we have right here, week in and week out, with each other. Amen? All right, let's pray. Father, how good you are. We love you. We praise you. We thank you for fellowship with you through our Lord Jesus, with the Holy Spirit, and fellowship with one another. May we make the most of it in our lifetimes. Bless your people. In the precious name of Jesus, amen.